guys, the way you handle every week to me is just absolutely amazing. It's special, man, and you guys do it every single week. Every week's different, and you guys handle it, and you grow together. We do it together, everybody, man. It's the best, and it feels so good.
This is the Full Press Bears Podcast, a part of Full Press Coverage. Here's your host and diehard Chicago Bears fan, Kyle George.
You are ridiculous.
Get ready to bear down.
Thank you, thank you, and go Bears!
First place Bears! My name is Kyle George and I'm pumped up right now. Let's get all these pleasantries out of the way so we can get going on this Bears team, this Bears win, and the Packers got beat by the Bucks big time. Let's cover it all right now here on Full Press Bears. Real quick here, this show is always about Da Bears all the time. You can follow me on Twitter at KEGeorge94. Find me every Tuesday and Thursday on the Frustration Nation podcast as well, which is on the Shoot Your Shot Sports Network. That's at RealFN Podcast and at Shoot Your Shot SP on Twitter. Follow me there. For more news on the Bears, please follow our news coverage and articles at Full Press Bears. Email me at fullpressbears@gmail.com. Call and leave a voicemail at 847-580-3528, and it could be featured here on this show. I'd love to hear from you, so go on your favorite podcast service and leave a review. Be nice, be cruel, be smart, be stupid. I don't care. I just like the feedback. This podcast, as always, can be heard on all of your popular podcast platforms, but more simply, and what I would recommend you do, is go to fullpresscoverage.com or download the Full Press Coverage app and find this podcast, as well as all the other good ones, right there. Wherever you go, be sure to subscribe right now to Full Press Bears. Oh, man. Okay. If there's a lot of background noise, it's because I'm just excited. I'm yelling. It might be echo a little bit. I'm banging the table because I'm pumped. Oh, my gosh. Bears, 5-1. Did anybody foresee this at the beginning of the season? Anybody? I was like, even Bears optimists like myself. Did anybody foresee 5-1? I'd really love to hear from you. Tell me, 5-1, really? Did you expect this? I didn't. I mean, you looked at the schedule at the beginning of the year, right? And you were like, okay, you have these first four games was usually the point that everyone pointed at. They were like, are these first four games? You have Lions, Giants, Falcons, Colts. Bears need to come out at least 3-1 out of those. Check mark. Bears did that. Once we saw a little bit of what these teams looked like, people were coming out saying, wow, the Bears really should be able to come out of the first six games at least 4-2. Check mark. Check that. Actually, strike that. 5-1. Even better. I couldn't be happier with how this team has come out and played, especially these past 2 weeks. Listen, if we want to be negative Nancy's on this podcast, we can talk about the offense all day long. And believe me, I will touch on it here in a minute. But, I mean, come on. I mean, no, even if you felt at times that this game was dragging on, which I felt the third quarter was so freaking long, and even if you felt like the game was starting to slip away or bad decisions were being made, did you ever really feel this game was out of control of the Bears? The Bears always had a foothold in this game, and they never surrendered it. It has to be their most complete game of the season so far. It has to be. And the defense is due pretty much all of the credit. But listen, here's the deal. I'm not going to say that these 2020 Bears are the 2018 Bears defense, because the 2018 Bears defense, we had an incredible run of turnovers and points off of turnovers. And today there were points off of turnovers, no doubt, but it's not quite on that level where we're getting the turnover numbers. Part of that is just the nature of football, lucky bounces here and there. But in terms of overall dominance, stopping teams, not letting them score, touchdowns specifically, I think we're starting to see a little bit of that DNA from the 2018 team. I think we're starting to see that show a little bit more. All right, so let's get into it. Let's go through my general thoughts. As you can tell, I'm pumped up about this game. And the fact that the Packers got blown out by the Buccaneers is even more just, I'm almost speechless. There's been an amazing Sunday where the Vikings looked awful. The Packers looked awful. The Lions won, but it doesn't matter. And the Bears won and are now alone in first place. Let's go. All right. Let's go through some general thoughts. And because I'm so positive, I actually want to start negative just so that we can run through, get through it, and then we can get back to the positive. So I'm going to start with the offense because everyone knows the offense is not what we want it to look like. And I've broken it down into a few parts here. And so what I want to start with is the rushing game. Our run game is awful. Not saying David Montgomery is bad. David Montgomery is a talented quarterback or running back. He really is. The way he breaks tackles is almost to an elite level, and it's not his fault that he's met at the line of scrimmage every single time he's handed the ball. Okay? If there's one thing I could criticize David Montgomery on, or I guess two things, it's like, yeah, sometimes he doesn't feel free enough to cut out to where there might be an open lane or open space. That'd be one. But, you know, part of that's his job. Part of it's the offensive line's job to fill the assignment, make the hole where it's supposed to be. And the other criticism I would have is that he's not comfortable or really successful back running out of the shotgun. But, I mean, that's really it. And I don't think those are two huge things that really indict David Montgomery's abilities. I really think he is a good running back. He just doesn't have a good opportunity with this offensive line the Bears have. It's been a narrative for 2 years now, but it still is evident if you watch these games that Matt Nagy just, he gives up on the run game. If the run game is not working from point one, he's very quick to shake it off to the side. Let's move on and try something else because he just did not commit to it. And I guarantee you that this Bears game, they were playing, I think it was the 25th ranked run defense in the league. I really think if you would have stuck to the run, you would have seen, it would have paid more dividends. At one point in this game, the Bears had, Montgomery had 10 carries for 10 yards. Oof. Not great. He ended the game with 19 carries, 58 yards, a 3.1 average, which doesn't actually sound horrible considering how the game looked. He did have break off for a couple bigger runs there later in the game to kind of help burn some time on the clock. But overall, the run game, I don't really know what solves the run game other than the offensive line. I think it all starts up there. And the fact that James Daniels is out for the year and today Rashad Coward is playing in his place instead of Alex Bars. I don't know if at any point you choose to switch that up. I don't know. This week, Juan Castillo, the offensive line's coach, was out of the building because he had been exposed to COVID. He did not travel with the team. So maybe another week with the actual offensive line's coach, maybe he makes a determination that Bars maybe is better than Coward. I don't know. I don't know if one really is better than the other at this point. But the offensive line, they just struggle to make space for the running game, and we suffer from that. So Montgomery had he really tried hard to get that that touchdown there in the game. In where was that? What quarter was that? I have it in my notes. In the third quarter, he tried really hard to get that. Foles ended up with the rushing touchdown. So the Bears did have, that's our second rushing touchdown of the season. One from Monty and one from Foles there. So at least we got on the board in that way. I was talking about Foles, and so I'm just going to go ahead and transition there. Foles played fine, I guess. Not fine. It was not particularly good. 23 for 39, 198 yards, one touchdown, one interception, which is good for only a 70.3 quarterback rating. not really happy with that. I don't think he's happy with that. I don't think Nagy's happy with that, especially after a longer week because of the Thursday night game. You'd think that there'd be some more time for Foles to get comfortable with this team. He's already familiar with the system and at least somewhat with Nagy, and he definitely with DeFilippo and other people there. But in terms of the receivers and just their ability and all that, you would have thought that hopefully by now they'd be a little more in sync. But from a lot of the other people out on Twitter, they've been suggesting what give him until November. So we'll see. We have just one or two games left here on our slate before we hit November. So we'll see if Nick Foles is right by then. What I'll tell you is that he's going to need to be right if you want the Bears to beat the Rams and the Saints, who are our two next matchups. So Foles, the other problem for him was he was hit a lot. There's a lot of pressure on him, which goes back to the offensive line issues. But, you know, the one thing that we've noticed that he does well that Trubisky did not is Foles at least is getting the ball out when he's under pressure, whether he's throwing it away or throwing it to a receiver. He is getting the ball out. Trubisky usually would just take those sacks, and that would make the offensive line look even worse. So Foles at least is getting it out. Now, the one time he got it out and forced it out was a horrible decision, right? And I'm going to get into this series of plays because it was a crazy way to go in the third quarter. But if you recall, after the Bears recovered the Mike Davis fumble in the red zone, or in the Panthers' side of the field, so it was the Bears in the red zone, Foles on the first play gets the ball. There's immediate pressure. He throws the ball up. Never a good pass, not a good decision, and it gets picked off right away. And the ball goes right back to the Panthers. Bad decision. And that's I tweeted out, I said that's a Mitch-level decision. Somebody else said that was a Nathan Peterman-level decision. And it was. It was the penultimate horrible quarterback decision there. Either take the sack or you have to throw it where you know you're throwing it away. And Foles did not make the right decision there. And really, that interception is probably what dropped his QBR rating to 70.3. But either way, he was serviceable today. He was definitely game manager today. And technically, that's all the Bears usually need, especially when the defense has been as dominant as they are. So then receivers is the last little area of the offense I wanted to talk about. I felt like kind of a mixed bag. I mean, Allen Robinson is always going to be good. Let me find my stat sheet here. So Allen Robinson, 5 receptions for 53 yards. Not bad, 9 targets for him. Montgomery had some good numbers, 40 receptions, 39 yards. Mooney was targeted 5 times. He had 3 receptions for 36 yards. Jimmy Graham, 5 receptions, 34. Cole Kmet, 2 for 20. And 1 touchdown. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. So you had some decent pass numbers from your receivers. Not really anything spectacular, but there's at least a semblance of a passing game today. But I want to go back to Cole Kmet, and this kind of goes back to coaching, which is another area I want to touch on here. Why is Demetrius Harris out on the field so much? Matt Nagy, why is he getting so many targets? So Cole Kmet, he caught 2 passes for 20 yards and a touchdown. He was targeted twice, so he caught both times he was targeted. Demetrius Harris, targeted 3 times, has 0 receptions. And tell me, listeners, if you disagree with me, but I felt at the beginning of the game, Cole Kmet scored a touchdown right away, and then it was either the next series or a few series later, Cole Kmet had another, 10-plus yard catch. And you're like, okay, cool, this is going to be the quote-unquote Cole Kmet coming out party. And then he wasn't heard from the rest of the game. So why in all these other plays were we going to Demetrius Harris? I would like an explanation. And I don't know if there's any reporters out there that have asked Matt Nagy about this, but I'd really like to hear that question posited to him. Because I would like to know why specifically Kmet hasn't been getting as many snaps and targets. Like, Cole Kmet is good at blocking, but let's get him out in the passing game. He clearly has talent. He did it today. He showed it. Why is Demetrius Harris getting the snaps that Cole Kmet should have? That's all I'd like to know. Let's get him the ball. Let's see what he can do. Let's give him time to develop. Regarding coaching, real quick, just the other thing that... Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Cole Kmet. Super excited for him. From hometown kid, Arlington Heights native, and scores the touchdown. Went to Notre Dame, right? Finally got his first touchdown in the NFL. Super exciting. I've been high on Kmet because I'm a Notre Dame fan, so I saw a lot of him last year. I was super excited when he was drafted. Coaching, just real quick. Matt Nagy, it seemed like the whole second half didn't know what he was calling. Like, I didn't get it the whole game in the second half. Every series just looked brutal. So I'm grateful the Bears won. This was one of those games I felt the Bears won in spite of Nagy. I think he's a great coach, but I think his play calling is very iffy at times throughout the game. And people point to Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky even as being either hot or cold, and I think that goes for Nagy as well. And I don't think that's a coincidence. I think those go hand in hand. All right. Because of time, let's jump over to the defense. I'd love to break down the offense more. But the defense, oh my word, this game just felt like more and more of what we saw already a week ago against the Buccaneers. Man, it was just a good game. Just a good game. I mean, you had 4 sacks on the day. That was Khalil Mack, Bilal Nichols, Mario Edwards. He's been having a great year, Mario Edwards. Bilal Nichols had a good game today. James Vaughters and Barkevious Mingo shared on another sack. Khalil Mack, Roquan, Akeem Hicks, Bilal Nichols, Mario Edwards all had additional tackles for losses. Then Eddie Jackson had the forced fumble, which Akeem Hicks recovered. Deshaun Gibson and DeAndre Houston Carson had interceptions, and then Eddie Jackson had the interception that was unfortunately called back because of the Kyle Fuller defensive pass interference, which I'll get to that in a minute. Kyle Fuller, by the way, this guy is an elite corner, and I think he's slept on a lot. He is so good. And if you remember that hit he had against the Bucks that forced the fumble last week, he had basically the exact same hit this week. And the official called it this time and kept their call of roughing or unnecessary roughness. Said he led with the shoulder. Mike Pereira came on and was spewing some nonsense about how it was a shoulder to head hit, which, first of all, not really, and second of all, the receiver lowered his head. Kyle Fuller did not lower anything. He just went in with his side into the shoulder and popped the ball loose. So Kyle Fuller, keep doing what you're doing. You're playing football the right way. We'll hopefully eventually it'll go in your favor. I felt like Roquan had a great game. I feel like Danny Trevathan looked better. I feel like this was a really good overall game for the Bears. My biggest concern for this game was I felt like this was the first game this season where Jalen Johnson, the rookie corner, number 33, was really exposed for the first time. Carolina, between DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, have a pair of really speedy receivers, and I felt there were multiple times throughout the game where he was taken advantage of in this game. I still love Jalen Johnson, and I think he will be a defensive star in this league in short time. But today was a rough day, and hopefully for him, he uses that as growing pains to help him move forward. That being said, talking about the referees, I mentioned defensive pass interference on Fuller. That one, sure, yeah, I can agree with that call. But you know what? You also had there was the exact same play, basically, on Allen Robinson. A defensive player was there early and they didn't call it, and that was the same thing that they called Eddie Jackson back for, but they didn't call it this time, and they called again later in the game. It's just there's so much inconsistency in the league with defensive pass interference, and it's getting really annoying. And then the pass interference called on Jalen Johnson in the end zone, very borderline. You can say that, yeah, he had his arm wrapped up, but not entirely. And also Jalen Johnson, also he totally was playing the ball, and they tell you you're supposed to play the ball and and when you're playing defense. And so it's not, it's like, what else can he really do? I mentioned the Fuller hit being a BS penalty. There was a roughing the passer call actually on the Panthers against Foles. That was also a BS penalty. All this to say, the refs were really bad today. And it felt like most of those bad calls were going against the Bears. A lot of Twitter was saying that the refs were keeping the Panthers in the game. And it really did feel like that. So that was just not really a good thing to see. You want to see the teams win the game. Unfortunately, the better team did come out on top. But the refs, that was a sloppy game for them, as well as the offenses in this game. The last thing I wanted to mention on the defense real quick was, holy, I don't even know what to say. Guacamole? I don't know. That opening defense against that opening drive, oh, was that not the most beautiful things your eyes ever laid eyes on? Oh my gosh, that was incredible, right? Bilal Nichols eating up Mike Davis behind the line, then a sack of Bridgewater basically on the goal line, could have been a safety, probably should have been a safety. They gave him forward progress, which didn't really make sense because he was running backwards, but they gave him forward progress, and then that led to the interception by Tashawn Gibson and set the Bears up for their first touchdown. And that really set the tone for the whole game. That was amazing. And those are the big plays the Bears need to really turn the tide in the game to their favor. If Carolina goes down and scores a touchdown right away, maybe this game ends differently. But the Bears ate up the Carolina right away and said, we are a much better team than you. You're going to have to play way better than this game. And the Bears just set themselves up for success right off the bat. So that was amazing. So then last thing I just wanted to call out, special teams, nothing to talk about on returns. But as far as the kickers for punting, Pat O'Donnell, good job. 4 punts, 3 inside the 20. It's what you're supposed to do. A couple inside, all right, 1 inside the 5, 1 inside the 10. Good job, sir. You've always been a good punter for the Bears, so kudos to you. Second of all, Kairos Santos. Oh my goodness. Does any Bears fan really remember what it was like to nail a 55-yard field goal? Anyone really remember that? I feel like we've all been so emotionally scarred, or almost actually literally scarred physically by Cody Parkey, where we assume, and the kickers subsequently after Parkey too, where I feel like we almost assume that we don't deserve to have a good kicker, and where we don't deserve to feel when there's a field goal of any distance that it's a sure thing. And yeah, I don't think any 55-yard field goal any team should feel is a for sure thing, but man, it feels good that Kairos Santos is having a good run. He's perfect today, 3 for 3 on field goals. The long was a 55-yarder. It was a career long for him. He was 2 for 2 in extra points. It's like he's being reliable all of a sudden, and I need a knock on wood right now because I'm probably about to jinx him for next week's game against the Rams. But Kairos Santos, good for you. Eddie Pinheiro, you might need to start looking for a new team that needs a kicker. I would recommend the Browns. The Browns have Cody Parkey as their kicker right now. So that was a feel-good moment for me to see. And it was not even close. Like, it was like straight down the middle, plenty of distance. That 55-yarder, bam, he nailed that one. Overall thoughts on the Panthers as well. Just Bridgewater was rattled for a lot of the day, and so he didn't really play all that great. 16 for 29, 216 yards, 2 interceptions, no touchdowns. Mike Davis, everyone was like, oh, it's the big revenge game. 18 rushes for 52 yards, 2.9 average, which interestingly enough is worse than David Montgomery's running, which is kind of interesting to say. And Davis did have a touchdown. However, that to me was a very BS touchdown, because that touchdown followed the very BS Jalen Johnson defensive pass interference that I alluded to earlier. The Panthers' defense looks decent. The receivers look decent. I think they'll be a good team in a couple years. And most importantly for them is they have a really good base because Matt Rhule is a really good coach. He's been showing that this year. There were some times today that maybe didn't look like it, but overall, he's a good coach, and the Carolina will be a good team in a few years. Okay, let's get into my Sunday sweetness. Man, I have nothing in this game that can beat that opening defensive series. Just, I already ran through it, but I'm going to run through it again because it gave me goosebumps when I read it, and it's giving me goosebumps right now. But Bilal Nichols just totally eating up Mike Davis behind the line right away, putting them even further behind than Bridgewater, getting sacked on the goal line, probably should have been a safety, and then the interception by Tashaun Gibson. Oh, beautiful. I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about that opening defensive series. It set the tone for the game, so huge, and that's why that series is my Sunday sweetness for this episode. My doink of the week, I actually have two that I want to call out. One, I talked about a little bit there, and that was Nick Foles' dumb decision on first and goal after the Panthers fumble. That sucked because you really felt like the Bears were going to score and gave the ball right back to the Panthers on the very first play. Not good. So that was my first doink of the week. My second was the refs taking away another touchdown from Eddie Jackson. He had that pick six right after Nick Foles threw the interception, right after the Panthers fumbled. That crazy turn of events. But the pick six was taken away because of a Kyle Fuller DPI, which was fine, but not fine because you didn't call earlier in the game on the Panthers. It was a very uneven, poorly reffed game, but I don't know what to tell you. It's just... It is the way it is sometimes in the NFL. Well, before I close out this episode, I just want to touch on as well how exciting it is as a Bears fan to tell you that unless you missed this game somehow, but the Buccaneers mopped the floor. The Buccaneers swabbed the poop deck with the Green Bay Packers 38-10. They scored 38 unanswered points on the Packers after Aaron Rodgers did his little hip thrust move in the end zone. That was a little unsettling. Looks like he's not entirely sure what he's doing there, which, you know, not questioning his manhood or anything, just saying. But yeah, that game was a sight to behold. Yeah, and when you look at the implications for the Bears from that game, one, the Buccaneers showed the audience how to beat Aaron Rodgers. And the key is Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator for the Bucs, sent relentless blitzes after Rodgers. He was hit repeatedly throughout the game. Honestly, it reminded me kind of how the Bears approached Brady on Thursday Night Football. The Bears hit Brady a ton in that game. And I'm telling you, no matter how good these quarterbacks are that are older, they are older. And the more you hit them, the more it will get to them. And I do think that had an effect on Rodgers. But even more so, the secondary played lockdown on his receivers. And really, when it comes and the rush defense was brilliant against Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. And really, when it comes to defending Rodgers and beating the Packers, I mean, if you take away Aaron Jones and if you take away Davante Adams, you're left with Rodgers having to really trust other receivers on his team that usually he doesn't have that same trust in. And if you can really lock down those other two players and limit their production, you have a really good opportunity to win the game. And the fact of the matter is, the Bucs made Rodgers make mistakes. The Bucs avoided making mistakes themselves. And the Buccaneers, they had that pick six of Rodgers. They had another interception on the next drive. It was just a big, big win for the Buccaneers. And again, going into what this means for the Bears. The Bears beat the Buccaneers, right? 20-19, right? And they allowed half the amount of points that the Packers allowed, right? And I know, yes, you can go in and say, yeah, well, you were playing the Buccaneers in short rest or whatever, or that Mike Evans wasn't fully healthy and Chris Godwin was out and what's his name? Leonard Fournette was out. Like, yeah, you can point all those things to me, sure. But the point is, the Bears still beat the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers absolutely destroyed the Packers. And I think there's something there about the Bears defense. I think there really is something to be said there, and there's no way that the receiving core is the defining feature of the Bucs offense. Okay. Yes, it's important. But Tom Brady is, you know, he's the one that gets the ball out. He's the one that determines who gets the targets. And he didn't look really good against the Bears. The Bears rattled him. They took him down, and you have to pause for a minute and just think about this game. And the Packers got blown out by this team that the Bears limited to 19 points. The Bears beat them. And I'm not saying this makes the Bears necessarily the better team than the Packers, because the way Rodgers has been playing this season, Rodgers definitely seems to be on an MVP level season, seems to be a very difficult team to beat. But for everybody who's been questioning, and even yourself, you're listening to this, maybe you're still questioning the legitimacy of how good the Bears are, I think you have to start stopping that questioning. When you beat a team like Tampa, who clearly has the talent to put up those points, and Tampa beat a team like the Packers, I don't know. I think there's a lot that your mind can wander about how successful the Bears can be. And the fact that the Bears are sitting at 5-1, and they have not once looked really good on offense this season, other than like a few good spurts here and there, really should give us a lot of positivity here moving forward, because in theory, if the Bears can figure out their offense, if Nick Foles can take full stride and the defense is still playing at the level they're playing, how is anybody going to beat them? Right? How? Not sure. But that game against the Packers means a lot, just because, again, the Packers lose to an opponent the Bears beat. The Bears beat them. I felt like the game against the Buccaneers, even though it was close, it felt kind of like a convincing win for the Bears. And then that was a convincing win for the Buccaneers over the Packers. So there's a lot of storylines that you can connect to these two games. And it's just interesting and encouraging for the Bears. Also, now the Bears are 5-0 against the NFC, and that is huge for tie-breaking purposes for later in this season. And the Bears are now alone atop the NFC North at 5-1. The Packers trail at 2-4-1, and so on and so forth. So you have the first-place Bears, Packers lose, Vikings lose, Lions or whatever, and you know what? It was a good Sunday. Well, just like victory formation and this beautiful Sunday that we had of football, this concludes today's episode. Remember to please follow me on Twitter at KEGeorge94 for all my game analysis, snarky humor, and wild opinions regarding the Bears. Drop your thoughts live, pregame, in-game, post-game reactions at 847-580-3528 or at fullpressbears@gmail.com. I would be so thrilled to have feedback and participation from you listeners, and it could be included here on the show. So please call that number, email me. I want to hear from you. Okay, it's time for me to go. I got to go do some dishes in the house, clean up after all that football food I had today, tacos and quesadillas and things like that. So I got to bounce. But as always, be great, be kind, bear down. See you next time.
Boom, baby! Fade to black!
Been the Full Press Bears Podcast. If you don't love the Bears, we don't love you.